Well, thank you for being here, and I hope you're receiving a blessing so far. And I know that God has something in store for you. I'm starting a series of sermons on the book of Jonah. I'm going to have four sermons, one sermon per chapter. And I love the book of Jonah. Anybody here likes the book of Jonah? It's an amazing, it's a fascinating story, all right? There's a lot of twists in this story. Ups and downs, and Jonah is just a very interesting character, isn't he? and so today we're going to talk about the first chapter. But before I start, I'd like to introduce to you a man whose life story is very similar to yours and mine. He had many struggles. He was disobedient to God. He was running away from God and got himself in a whole lot of trouble. Does that sound familiar to you? It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jonah wasn't different than us. Now, when most people go to the book of Jonah, or most of people hear about the book of Jonah, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Well, the big fish, right? Jonah in the belly of the fish. But did you know that the whole book contains only three verses in four chapters about this fish? That's it, only three verses. But this is what we always remember, the big fish. Now, Jonah's story is not primarily about the big fish. It's about his struggles, his disobedience to God's word. It's about the story of a man whom God gave a second chance. That's what the book of Jonah is all about. Some of you need a second chance here. We all do, and we need the third and fourth and fifth and 69th and 70th. You know, we all need those in our lives because we like Jonah, all mess up. And that's why I like the book of Jonah, because it speaks to us. It speaks to our everyday life and how we can overcome and how God can help us. Now, today I would like to deal with the first chapter, as I said, of the book of Jonah, and specifically with the part where Jonah is thrown into the sea, and thus I entitled my sermon, Man Overboard. Why was Jonah overboard? Why did he find himself in such a deep trouble, the pun intended here? Well, in order to answer this question, we need to start right from the beginning in chapter 1 and see what got Jonah to that point. You know, it's like you watch a movie and you see something happening and then they stop and say 12 hours earlier, right? Or 10 hours earlier. So that's what we're going to do. Jonah is in trouble. He's overboard. He's in this deep trouble in the waters. And now we need to go back and see what is happening there. It is a chain of events that led to Jonah's situation of being overboard. And I divided the first chapter in three main sections, in three different parts, all right? And that will explain to us the story. So follow with me through the story. I hope you're in the book of Jonah there. And we're not going to read every verse, but we're going to start with the first part. And I entitled the first part, Jonah is Running. All right? Jonah is running. Easy to remember. Jonah 1 verse 3 says this, but Jonah arose to do what? To flee or to run to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the what? From the presence of the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that Jonah found a ship that was going in a wrong direction. He was supposed to go where? To Nineveh, but he was going exactly the opposite direction. He was going in the wrong direction. He purposefully got on a wrong ship. He knew that that boat is not going into the right direction. Now, many of us today get on the wrong ship in our lives, intentionally. But you know what? I see with a lot of people today that many times, many of us just get on the wrong ship unintentionally. Just the way things work out in our lives, and we just find ourselves on the wrong boat going in the wrong direction. And then you wake up one day and you ask yourself a question, how did I get here? How did I get so far from God? I didn't intend that to happen. Does it sound familiar to some of you? Now, Jonah did this intentionally, but some people unintentionally just get on the wrong ship and go in the wrong direction. I was reading this illustration about a flight that was going to Chicago, and after the flight attendant made an announcement on the intercom, she forgot it on, all right, the intercom, and the pilot was overheard in the background saying, whoops. Now, you don't want to hear the pilot saying that on the intercom, right? A minute later, the pilot headed down the aisle towards the exit. He's leaving the plane. And so one of the passengers stopped him and said, where are you going? And the pilot told him in a low voice, to Denver. And the passenger replied, but this plane is not going to Denver, it's going to Chicago. The pilot, with his face turning red, said, I know I'm on the wrong plane. A pilot on the wrong plane. So my question to you today is this. Where are you going? Where are you going? What direction are you going in your life? Are you going to Nineveh or are you going to Tarshish? Are you going to Nineveh where God sends you on a mission, or you're running from God in the opposite direction and going to Tarshish? Which direction? Nineveh or Tarshish? Obedience or disobedience? Nineveh represents obedience to God's word and going in the right direction. Tarshish represents disobedience. You're running away from God. What caused Jonah to go in a different direction, to run away from God? Well, we looked at in verse 1, and if you back up a little bit to verse 1, God sends him on a mission to go to Nineveh, right, to preach to those people so they can repent, but he runs away because he thinks that God's mission is not right. He has preconceived ideas about the people of Nineveh. Oh, those people, no, Lord, I'm not gonna go to those people. Now, we don't have the story, the conversation between God and Jonah when God came to him to send him to Nineveh, but the sanctified of imagination of the VeggieTales, all right? Anybody watch VeggieTales? Yeah, you did. I know you do. And some of you still watch. Parents, if you had kids or you have kids now, you watch VeggieTales all the time, right? And so I love VeggieTales. One of the favorite ones for my boys was Jonah, the movie. All right? And so in this movie, in the beginning, God comes to Jonah and tells him, you must go to Nineveh and preach there. And Jonah starts arguing with God, and this is what he says. Lord, you can send me anywhere in Israel. You can send me to this city in Israel. Send me anywhere to my people, to our people in Israel. But he said, Lord, Nineveh, here is where I draw the line. My question is, do we treat God sometimes the same way? Lord, I will do anything for you, whatever you want, but here is where I draw the line. So my question to you is, where do you draw the line in your service to God? We have many different preconceived ideas and biases about many different things and different people, and that causes us to eventually find ourselves overboard. Now, in our service to God, this is what I say, we can't draw a line. We just need to follow the lines that God drew for us. God draws the line, not us. Because our lines, we as humans, when humans draw the line, they draw in a different spot and they move it based on their biases and preconceived ideas. Everybody draws the line, I draw it here because, and then another person right here. You can't trust those lines. We can trust only God because only God in His divine wisdom knows exactly where to draw the line. We can't draw that line. So when God comes to you with a mission to serve Him, you can't tell Him, Lord, I can't go to those people. This is where I draw the line. When God calls you, do what? You go. You go. Now, as we follow in the story, you see in verse 3, there is one phrase that is repeated a few times. And that phrase is, went down. All right, it's very, very important to notice that. It's repeated a few times in regards to Jonah's movement. Verse 3 says that he went down to Joppa, and then he bought a ticket, and he went down into the boat. It repeats it a few times, and we'll see it later in verse 5 as well. Now, this movement down is very significant in this story because it shows us that when we run away from God, our lives are spiraling down out of control. That's what it's happening. When you run away from God, you're going downward. Down is always the direction where you are in rebellion against God. That's where you're going. Someone said, and in our Christian experience, we find ourselves in one of four chapters in the book of Jonah. All right? They divided four chapters in this way, and they said this. We find ourselves living in chapter 1 of Jonah, running away from God. Some other people find themselves living in chapter 2, running to God. Some other people find themselves in chapter 3, running with God. And some people find themselves in chapter 4, running ahead of God. So, let me repeat those, because I want you to think about where do you find yourselves in your spiritual experience. Are you running away from God? Are you running to God? Are you running with God? Or are you running ahead of God? Where do you find yourself today in your experience with God? Running to God. Amen. Thank you. Out of a child's mouth. I like that. I can sit down and finish the sermon right here. So the first part of Jonah chapter 1 is Jonah is running. Now we go to the second part. And the second part I entitled very simple. Jonah is sleeping. All right? He's running. He's sleeping. As the story continues, we see that God sends a great storm in verse 4 while he was on the ship going to Tarshish. And then in verse 5, we read in verse 5, if you follow with me in your Bible, but Jonah had gone where? Once again, had gone down, you see how important it is, into the lowest parts of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. There is a storm outside and the boat is tossed about, but he's what? He's fast asleep in the boat. Once again, as I said, we see the text describing Jonah going down to the lowest parts of this boat. Jonah had gone to the lowest point in his rebellion against God. I wonder how many of us are at the lowest point in our lives at this, you know, at particular time. I wonder how many of us have hit the rock bottom. I know quite a few of you probably. Now, Prophets and Kings, page 267 says this. If when the call first came to Jonah, to him, Jonah had stopped to consider calmly, he might have known how foolish would be any effort on his part to escape the responsibility placed upon him. If he just thought a little bit, he would have known how foolish it is to run away. But not for long was he permitted to go on undisturbed in his mad flight, she says. Because God wants us to stop from going the wrong direction, he intervenes, or as this quote says, God disturbs us in our mad flight. and sends his agents, which are the storms. Because the Bible says that God sent that storm. God sends those storms. God often uses the storms of adversity to teach us or to correct us. And this storm illustrated the spiritual struggle of Jonah's heart. While the rebellious prophet knew what was right, a fierce battle raged inside of him. And we all have that battle, you know, inside of us. That battle rages on and on all the time. While we know what is right, we find ourselves doing what? What is wrong? And this is what Apostle Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, because the things that I want to do, I don't do them, but the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing." That battle is raging on in our hearts, and Jonah had the same struggles. He found himself running away when he knew what was right at that time. Now, the question that we all probably have is, how can Jonah be sleeping through all of this? In fact, this is the exact question that the captain has. If you read further in verse 6, when the captain discovers Jonah down there sleeping, he comes to him and asks him the question in verse 6, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." In other words, the captain comes to him, finds him sleeping, and he says to him, "How can you sleep at a time like this? How can you be fast asleep at a time like this?" So we see Jonah asleep during the storm. He was not bothered by anything. Have you seen people that sleep very deep, like they're deep sleepers, that you can fire a cannon right next to them and they will still be fast asleep? I wish I could do that. Some of you, if you're that person, good on you. Because you can sleep through anything. Here, the boat was tossed about. The water was coming in, and the waves were raging around and moving the boat. And Jonah was fast asleep. He was not bothered by anything. Now, listen to this. In our spiritual experience, this has an impact on us as well. When people are at their lowest point in their spiritual life, remember, he went at the lowest point. So when people are at the lowest point in their lives, in their spiritual lives, they are not bothered by anything anymore. They don't feel the Holy Spirit working on their heart anymore. People become spiritually desensitized. This is the state that the devil wants us to be in. He wants us to be in the state of sleepiness and not be aware of God's attempts to wake us up from our sleep. That's why God sent the storm to call on his attention, on Jonah's attention, but he didn't care. He wasn't bothered by it. He couldn't hear God working on him anymore. And this is a lot of Christians in the same state. We become desensitized to everything spiritual around us. It's a very, very bad spot to be in. The Bible tells us, it's an interesting point here, it tells us that Jonah paid for the fare to go down into the boat and have a nice sleep while running away from God. He paid for that. He paid for his ride, so he went and was comfortably sleeping down there. He paid for it. There is a high price to pay for being asleep, spiritually asleep. Now, maybe you heard this illustration before. There was a lady that was going to church, in a Sunday-keeping church, with her son and with her dad. So grandfather, the grandson, and the mother were going to church. And the daughter was in the choir, so they were singing, you know, in some churches, choirs sing every Sunday, you know, in Sunday-keeping churches. And so she was always up front, and the grandson, the little grandson, will always be with grandfather in the front row listening. So, of course, during the sermon, sometimes the grandfather would nod off and falling asleep, you know, and some of you are doing now. No, just kidding. But the problem was that sometimes the grandfather would start snoring And the whole church would hear that. So it was embarrassing for this woman to hear her father start snoring. So she made an agreement with her son, and she said, I'll give you 25 cents each week to keep your grandfather awake during church service. So this plan worked for a few weeks. As soon as the grandfather would start nodding off, and he would just jolt him a little bit and wake him up, and nudge him a little bit, and it was working. So now, there was the Easter Sunday, the big celebration, and the choir and everything, and there was the sermon. And during the sermon, the grandfather fell asleep and just let a loud snort, you know? And everybody heard and started laughing. The woman was so embarrassed. And after the church service, she comes to the boy and said, I thought we had an agreement to keep your grandfather awake. And the little boy said, yes, but grandfather is giving me 50 cents to let him sleep. Now let me ask you a question. What are you willing to pay so you can just stay asleep in your spiritual experience? How much are you willing to give up to just stay comfortable in your spiritual experience? How much are you giving up? A lot of us are paying a very high price for that. Every time you want to stay asleep, it's going to cost you. Most of the times we give up our biblical principles and our spiritual values just to stay comfortable. It's always going to cost you, and you are paying for it to just be comfortable and be asleep. Spiritually asleep. There is always a price to pay for comfort. And our church in North America is very, very comfortable. Not just the Adventist church, but in general, the Christian church. We have gotten very comfortable, and we don't even think twice on giving up our principles and our foundational beliefs and our values. If it keeps us asleep and keeps us comfortable, willing to do that. No problem with that. How much are you willing to pay? The most expensive thing you can do is to remain spiritually asleep. It might cost you your eternal life. God is telling us the same thing what the captain told Jonah in verse 6 when he found him asleep. He told him, arise and call on your God. That's what God is telling us today. If you're asleep, spiritually asleep, God is telling today to you, wake up and call on your God. So Jonah was running. Then we find Jonah asleep. And the third part of this chapter 1 is we see Jonah drowning. Jonah is drowning. After Jonah wakes up, he has a very interesting conversation with the sailors right before they throw him into the sea. In verse 9, if you follow in the story, Jonah 1 and verse 9, Jonah tells the sailors that he's a Hebrew and that he fears the God of heaven who made the heaven and the sea and the dry land. Then in verse 10 and 11, we see the sailors being afraid when they found out about this. And at the end of verse 11, they ask Jonah a very interesting question, and they ask him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? Now, how would you answer that question? In verse 12, Jonah provides a very strange solution to calm the storm. You remember, this comes from him. What does he say in verse 12? Pick me up and do what? Throw me overboard. Throw me in the water. This is very strange. It's a very strange answer from Jonah. Now, follow my logic here. So, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah doesn't want to do it, so he runs away. God sends a huge storm which threatens his life and the lives of everyone on board. And the crew finds out that the storm is caused by you. It's because of you. And then they ask, what can we do to calm the storm? What would be the logical answer? So he's running away from Nineveh. He's going to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. What would be the logical answer? Well, the logical answer would be, turn around, head the other direction, take me to Nineveh. That's where God wanted me to be. Because I'm running away, that's why the storm happened. So turn around, take me there. That would be the logical answer. But Jonah said, no, throw me overboard into the sea. It sounds like Jonah, and this is my personal opinion, it sounds like Jonah would rather die than go to Nineveh. These sailors never suggested to throw him. As you look in the story, they tried to do everything possible to save Jonah, even after this. It sounds like Jonah would rather die than go to Nineveh. It seems that he would rather die in blatant rebellion against God, but he would not go to those people that he has a lot of biases and prejudices against. He would rather die. Now, even after this, the Bible says that the sailors tried to do everything possible to save everyone on board, including Jonah, but they failed. They were rowing hard and trying to weather the storm. So after having no other alternative, they take Jonah and throw him overboard. So at this point, we come back where I started. Remember, we went back a little bit. Now we're right there where Jonah finds himself overboard. He's there in turbulent waters, drowning, fighting for his life. Now, as we follow the story today, we can see that Jonah created himself the circumstances for his troubles. Do you see that? Sometimes you're wondering, why am I going through so many things in my life? Many times we are creating the circumstances for our own storms. And this is what Jonah did. He found himself overboard because he did not trust God's word, and he went the opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. In many cases, as I said, we also create circumstances for our own troubles. We find ourselves overboard and not in safety of the boat in the deep and troubling waters of our lives because of our own choices and our own decisions. And this story shows something very interesting as well. Some trials in our lives might come as consequences of our life and our actions, but some trials are a result of just being around other people who are in trouble. We are just in the crossfire, so to speak. Dr. A.C. Dixon says this, just one sentence. He says, our sins will certainly get others in trouble. Look at the sailors. The other men on this ship, on this boat, didn't do anything wrong, but they were caught in the same storm, all because of Jonah. Many trials in our lives today. Now listen to this. If you forget everything I'm saying, I want you to remember this. Many trials in our lives today are just circumstantial. We are just caught in the crossfires of the great mess that Satan created in this world. That's it. I can't explain why a young man died a week or so ago. I can't explain that. I can try, but I can't. There are no explanation why a young woman has to suffer for so long and die, as we're experiencing right now in our church. There's no explanation for that. And we can't understand those things. We just need to accept them as consequences of living in this sinful world, in this messed up world. That's it. That's all we can have at this point. We just get caught in the crossfires, in the world, sinful world, in this great mess that the devil has created. Now, from the point of view of the other sailors on the boat, what was the solution to resolve their problem, to resolve the storm? Well, it was very simple. They had to get rid of what was causing the storm. They had to throw Jonah overboard. And looking at this, many times we as Christians need to throw things that is in conflict with God's command and God's word. We need to throw them overboard. We need to get rid of those things in our lives. If you want to calm the storm sometimes in your life, you need to get rid of those things. You know, we need to get rid of those things for us to calm and once again experience peace in our lives. And sometimes there might be a need to get rid of ourselves, in the sense that we need to get rid of our selfish egos before we can calm the storms. So let me conclude with this. I'd like to conclude by reading the first part of verse 17, chapter 1 of Jonah, the last verse there. It says there, "Now the Lord had prepared" what? "A great fish to swallow Jonah." God prepared the escape, the way out, while Jonah was working hard to create his mess and create the circumstances for him finding himself overboard. God was working to prepare a way out. And this is what he does with us. We work very hard to mess up our lives, to find ourselves overboard in those rough waters, in the storm, in the storms of our lives. But while we're working on that, God is working to prepare a way out for you. Amen? This is our God. Having said that, Jonah had to still endure the storm. He had to go through those turbulent waters to get rescued from there. He had to go through that storm. Don't get me wrong, God is eager to save you, but we will still have to endure the consequences of our own wrong actions. And we'll have to go through those storms, but God saves us through the storm, not from the storm. He takes us through those trials, and he brings us out of those. God, in his wisdom, knows when he needs to intervene. I know some of you going through some trials and say, "Lord, I can't take that anymore." But God knows when he needs to intervene. The salvation of Jonah came through the experience of being in the storm and being thrown overboard, and then God saves him. He needed to learn some tough lessons. He needed to grow through those storms. Now, let me say this as I conclude. If you, by any chance, find yourself today overboard sometimes, remember, that might be exactly the place where God wants you to be so that he can manifest his mighty power to save you. May God bless you. Amen.